Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. This is Do You Really Believe? Number 5. Let's ask a question. How can we tell the difference between a false Christianity and a true Christianity? Let's phrase it another way. How can we tell the difference between a Christianity that men teach through the teachings and traditions of men from what the true Christianity is through the New Testament and Bible called the gospel of the kingdom of God? Now let's come to 1 John, the second chapter. Now this epistle was written in a time when there were false teachers coming into the various congregations, various groups and home study groups, bringing different teachings, saying that they don't have to keep the commandments of God. Now, we covered that on the last segment where Jesus said, don't even think it's not going to happen that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. Yet, that's the predominant view of Christianity today. Well, some of those things had their early beginnings during the days of the apostles, especially as they were getting older and coming down toward the end of the first century. 1 John 2, and let's pick it up in verse 3. By this standard we know that we know him. Now, to know the Lord. How do you know the Lord? Well, what is the thing that you can do to prove that you know the Lord? Now, this is one of the things, not the only thing. You have to believe in God the Father, believe in Jesus Christ, believe the gospel, believe and repent, and be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit of God. Those are all the first steps in becoming a true Christian, because there are many false Christians out there. There are many false prophets out there and doing wonderful works. And there's going to come a day when they're going to come before Jesus Christ, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. Now remember, just because you say, Lord, Lord, doesn't guarantee anything. Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? Didn't we teach in your name? Didn't we have many projects that we did that were wonderful? Oh, Lord, bless us, give us our reward. Well, if you read Matthew 7, verses 21 and onward, you'll find Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Now, what is lawlessness? That is saying the law and prophets have been done away, and the traditions of men now have replaced it. If you believe those things, you're believing a lie. Do you want to believe a lie? Or do you want to believe the truth? All right, now let me read you the truth. By this standard, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now notice the little word if. If, it's conditional. Take it backwards. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't know him. Which is what the next verse does. Verse 4. The one who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is well-intentioned, sincere and dedicated. No. Is a liar. And the truth. What is the truth? The word of God is true. God is true. Jesus is true. And we'll see in a bit, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth is not in him. He's speaking of his own. Now notice the comparison. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. Remember where we left off last segment. That the purpose of God is that we become perfect exactly as the Father in heaven is perfect. So we go from belief to obedience to faith to hope to love. Those are the steps of growth for Christian development. So you have to come to prove right from wrong, truth from error to begin with. And then, as we will see, you have to begin obeying God. Whatever you read in the Bible and you understand, if you're just beginning to read the Bible, like I said in segment number 3, study the Proverbs first. That will help you get grounded. But whatever you read in the Word of God that God says you must do, you need to obey. Because if you don't obey, you start cutting off your belief in God, whittling it down. Notice, anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself. Think of this. All those who profess that they are Christians, by that very profession, doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you do, by that very profession, you are automatically obligating yourself to what John wrote here, because if you're not, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. All right? Let's read it. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk even as he himself walked. How did Jesus walk? Now, I'm going to tell you about another book, a great book that you need, A Harmony of the Gospels, The Life of Jesus Christ. All put together with commentary, which we will send to you at no cost, close to 400 pages, free. We want you to understand the truth. We want you to know about Jesus Christ. There's so many false things about him out there that, you know, those who really speak the truth are like voices crying in the wilderness. Hello, out there. Anybody want to know about God? No, I'm busy with my texting. I'm busy with my gambling. I'm busy with my work. I'm busy with my business. I'm busy with whatever it is. People don't want God. There it is. That's what you're obligated to do. All right, now let's come to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, the word for belief or believe not is used 97 times. You think that belief is important? Yes, indeed. In the New Testament, it is used 240 times. Think about that. How do you believe? What do you believe? Faith, which is to believe, is faithizing, is used 304 times. So you've got to believe and you have to have faith. And how can you believe and have faith unless you prove it first? And that's what we're doing here. And if you prove it, are you going to hold on to it? What are you going to do? Let's come here to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, that's quite a statement. How do you go about proving that and putting that together so you understand all about Jesus Christ and you understand about God the Father? You ever thought about that? See, the Jews in Judaism reject Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, You've seen the ad, haven't you, about there's a car wreck, a brand new car, and they only pay you 75% of the value of the car? And they ask the question,
what are you supposed to do, drive three quarters of a car?
Question. If you accept the Old Testament and reject the New Testament and Jesus Christ, how are you going to know about God? When you need both the Old and New Testament to understand it. It's the same way. How are you going to drive a half a car? How's that going to work? Not very well, will it? Same way with Christians who say, the Old Testament has all been fulfilled. We have nothing to do with it. Take your car, cut it in half. Can you drive a half a car? Okay? Let's use another analogy. Take a live human being and cut them right down the middle. Now, how much alive is it? Neither half, they're dead. Right? Same way with God and the Word of God. You can't take what you like and throw away what you don't like. God has given it all. Now, come down here to verse 6, John 14. Here's where Jesus said to Thomas, after he told him that he was going to go away, that is, go through the crucifixion, death, and resurrection, return to the Father. So he said, how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth. And that's what you need to always seek in everything. Truth, truth, truth. And the life. That is the way to eternal life. Do you want to live forever? Of course, people don't want to die. If you believe in the immortality of the soul, you believe in a lie. Because the Bible teaches nothing about that, only the resurrection from the dead. That's why Jesus was resurrected. Now, notice the next part of this. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody is going to receive eternal life except through Jesus Christ, Christ's way, which is the Father's way. Now, what about you? What is your life? You want it changed? You want to be in right standing with God? Do you want eternal life? Do you want your sins forgiven? All of that's available. Now come here to John 12. Let's begin here in verse 37. Although he had done many miracles in their presence, they did not believe in him. See, you can see it right in front of your eyes and not believe it. You can hear the truth and not believe it because you are so locked into your lies and your beliefs and your traditions and your ways that something that sounds strange to you because it's never been taught in the pulpit. Are you going to be like these religious leaders? You go through it, look at all of the miracles that are there that Jesus did. And that's why you need the book, Harmony of the Gospels. You write for it, we'll send it to you. Now continuing, verse 38, so that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled who said, Lord, who has believed our report? Do you believe? Do you believe? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You have to respond to God. Remember where we started? The prophecy of the coming Messiah. And him shall you hearken. That is here to obey. Now what happens if you don't? For this very reason, they could not believe because, again, Isaiah said, was prophesied. How could it be prophesied? because God knew what would happen when people put the traditions and teachings of men and their way ahead of God and His way, and their thoughts ahead of His thoughts and ahead of Christ. Here's what happens. He has blinded their eyes. How does He blind the eyes? If you don't obey, you're blinded. It's like having a lock and a key. What if you have the wrong key, or you have the wrong lock? You need the right lock and the right key. See? Same thing. And that is, believe God and obey His voice. That's the simplest command that you find in the Bible. Obey my voice. And it's all written down. No one can say, well, I can't hear the voice of God. You don't have to. He wrote it down. He wrote it down. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to reject it like these people do? You're going to disbelieve because it doesn't fit in with your known facts that you have been taught or in your head or what you practice and believe? He blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts so that they would not see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things when he saw His glory and spoke concerning Him, but even so, many among the rulers believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, more politically correct and adhering to men than being honest with themselves and God through the Word of God. Because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. What does this tell us? There are a lot of people who think more of what men think of them than what God thinks of them. What if God loves you but hates the actions of these men that you are following, and you follow them? You lose the love of God. You want to lose the love of God? Think about that. Verse 43, for they love the glory of men more than the glory of God. So then Jesus made it absolutely clear, verse 44. Then Jesus called out and said, the one who believes in me does not believe in me, but in Him who sent me. So you've got to believe not only in Jesus, but in God the Father. And the one who sees me sees Him who sent me. I've come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. How is your life? Do you live in darkness? That is, without knowledge, without God, without understanding? How successful are you doing in that? Your life filled with troubles and difficulties and fights and squabbles and things like that? Well, there may be some people who are cruising along and everything looks really fine, even though they're sinning. What about them? Their day will come. God promises that. Verse 47, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, he talks about what will judge you. Because his word goes out. Remember what we read in Deuteronomy 18. That prophet, you must hear, you shall hearken, or die. That's what God said. And Jesus is that prophet. Verse 48. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word which I have spoken, that shall judge him in the last day. Every word of Jesus Christ. Why? Why is that important? Where did he get his words? Did he invent them out of his own mind? Did he create this because he's, well, I'm the Son of God, and here's what I think is going to be a good idea. Verse 49. Now again, listen carefully. This is why you have the word of God written down. For I have not spoken of myself. Back in John 5 and verse 19, he says, of myself I can do nothing. Okay? Think how much less you could do or can do. And even if you're successful to a certain point, one day you're going to die. And like Solomon said, I'm frustrated with this. When I die, I'm going to leave it to a successor, and who knows? Will he be wise or a fool? Okay, well, think about it. He didn't speak from himself, but the Father. But who is God the Father? God the Father is the great sovereign God of the entire universe and world and everything that there is. And through Jesus Christ, who is also God before he became flesh, created the earth, the heavens, and everything that there is. So what you're dealing with is not just a simple little thing. Oh, well, I don't believe, so I'll just go on my own way. How's that going to work? See? You need to think about what you're going to do. You need to ask yourself the question, what is my life? Where am I going? What am I doing? Where am I heading? Now, even if you're successful in physical things, if you don't have God the Father and Jesus Christ, you have nothing. Let's go on. I've not spoken from myself, but the Father who sent me gave me commandment. Himself, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, whatever I speak exactly as the Father has told me. Now you need to understand those words coming directly from Jesus Christ. And remember, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And the end result will be eternal life. That's why Jesus started preaching the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe the gospel. And then, as we covered, you also have to believe and repent. And repent of what? Sin. Sin is the transgression of the law, or the breaking of the law. Then you have to be baptized, and then, in that belief, you have to grow in grace and knowledge, and work toward the perfection that Jesus said, as the Father in heaven is perfect. So do you really believe? What do you believe? That's the question. So be sure and visit our other website, truthofgod.org. And there we have many, many sermons, transcripts, in-depth study of the Word of God so you can know it and so that you can believe it, so that you can live by it. And continue to use Church at Home, as we have many foundational messages there, and then go to truthofgod.org, where those are developed and carried into greater depth and understanding. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and write for our books, Harmony of the Gospels, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? God or No God? Why Christianity is Failing in America, and you get those, and that will help you to understand and believe the truth and help get your life turned around the way it should be. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So till next time, this is Fred Coulter saying so long, everyone.